righty then, we're in 2 Peter chapter 3. We left off at verse 9, so we're going to pick up at verse 10 this evening. And let me just remind you of some things that we talked about last week. By the way, tonight we'll finish 2 Peter. There's only three chapters, so we'll finish that. And we'll complete our study of 1 and 2 Peter. So here are some things that we learned last week. Use God's Word to recognize false teachers. We're going to have false teachers because the Lord says we're going to have them. No, they may not come right in this church, but we might be affected by it. But if they do come in, use God's Word to recognize them and deal with that. Expose them. Help them, if they can be corrected, help them get correction so that they're teaching the truth of God's Word. We know that we're going to experience scoffers and false teachers in these last days. That's a guarantee for us. Well, some of them, we see them, but we don't think of them as false teachers in that way. Like, who am I talking about? Evolutionists, right? That is the teaching of our school system. They are mandated to teach evolution. Don't talk about God. Can't do that. So when I was a teacher, I would tell my students, the older ones mainly, middle school, that I can't talk to you about that. I can't talk to you about the Bible and all that stuff. But if you want to talk about it, tell me, and I'll meet with you after school. We can talk all we want after school. And if you want your parents to come, invite them. Tell them to come too. Or tell me, and I'll invite them, you know. So, and I did have a few that did come. But evolutionists, they are false teachers. Globalists, they're false teachers. God's Word says, and we might as well throw the green people in there too as well, along with it. The environmentalists are the green people, right? God's Word tells us how the world's going to end. And it doesn't match up with what globalists and environmentalists are telling everybody. So you can either live by faith in God and have that liberty and freedom, or you can listen to them. But they don't know what they're talking about because they have no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Cults, they are obviously false teachers, but sometimes you may be listening to somebody that's in a cult and you don't really know it. You don't know unless you ask them, right? Cults are basically those that are without Christ, groups that are without Christ, or groups that are distorting God's Word. Right? They claim to be Christians, but they're distorting it. So they're false teachers. You can't trust them. And you have to use God's Word to understand who they are and what they're doing. All of those are examples of false teachers. God is giving time. He's giving time. Right now, He's giving time to the general population of the world. Just like He did in the time before Noah's flood. He gave them 120 years to come to Him. He could have put more people, more humans on that ark, but they didn't come. And so He was only able to save the 8. But if they would come, He would do it. Just like now, He's giving more time. God is not a slacker with time. He's just giving everybody time to come to Him so they can have salvation. When God determines that the time is right, the rapture will happen. That's what's going to tell everybody, that's it, it's over. God's time is right. If you haven't asked Him by now, more than likely you're out of luck. And you won't be able to. I mean, it's very hard to determine if people are going to get saved, if they're going to have access to salvation or not during the tribulation. I've been leaning towards they will be able to. But I've read some things lately that now I'm kind of questioning that again, right? So I need more study in that area. I tend to lean towards there will be some that will be able to get saved. But we need to be in God's Word so that we can recognize when we're in danger. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, help us as we go through your Word to let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, to give us understanding so that we'll be able to use your Word correctly and wisely and in a timely manner too, Lord, when we need to use it. Help us to use it in a way that we would be in a good testimony to you and that we would influence others to learn more about you, perhaps even come to a saving knowledge. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're in chapter 3 of 2 Peter and we're at verse 10. Starts off this way. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Do you know what the elements are? Did you ever look at the periodic chart of elements in science class? I don't even know how many there are now. I knew that. I used to know that at one time. That's what this is talking about. Those elements make up everything in creation. In our bodies, we're made up of those elements. The building materials in this building are made up of those elements. The carpet, the pews. Everything in the world consists of those elements. They were given by God to create this world. Amen? That's what he's talking about when he says the elements are going to burn up. Well, verse 10 is talking about the end of end times. And actually, the end of the creation as we know it. The day of the Lord is not just a short time. It represents in time a time of like an era or an epoch. So we talked about that last week. But when it ends, all this is going to disappear. This is the finale of the day of the Lord when that happens. It's going to happen after the millennial kingdom, after God's reigned on earth for 1,000 years. The last moment of the tainted original creation.
Yes. I got a question about that then. You know how like hell is in the earth, right?
Yes.
So if the earth's going to be destroyed, where's it going to be held up? In the new earth?
No. It won't be in the new earth. It won't be in the kingdom of God. But the new earth will be the kingdom of God. It'll be in there. Hold on. Hell will be wherever God puts it. He hasn't told us where he's going to put it. But it won't be in his presence. It won't be in our presence. Just like it's not in our presence now. But he'll take care of that. Somewhere it will exist. Somewhere the lake of fire will exist. Right? That's up to God. He's way over our pay grade. So we don't have to worry about it. All we have to worry about is loving and serving the Lord and doing his will. Amen?
Amen.
Being faithful to him. All right. This great noise and fervent heat will be as the explosion of an unimaginably huge atomic bomb. That's what happens when an atomic bomb explodes. All the atoms of whatever they made that bomb out of Sometimes it's uranium, sometimes it's plutonium. Whatever they use to make that bomb, they split those atoms. They bombard them with something else, and it splits the atoms. That's what creates all the noise, the big explosion. That's what creates the fervent heat. There's two ways you can get heat and energy out of the atoms. One way is by splitting it. That's called fission, nuclear fission. The other way is fusion. You bring them together. We're great at fission. We're not so great at fusion, okay? They're still working on that. How do we bring them together and get that energy? Well, they haven't quite figured that out yet. But they're working on it. So this great noise is when God lets all those atoms be released. He's not going to have to use an explosion to explode the bomb, right? That's what we have to do. All he's going to do is release. Right now, what does the scripture say? By him and through him, all things consist. That means he's holding all of these atoms together, whatever they're in, whatever material they're in, the Spirit of God is holding that all together. And all he's going to do is let them release. And that's going to release all that energy and all that heat. All the atoms of every existing material in creation. Now just wrap your brain around that for a moment. All the atoms of everything in existence in creation. I'm not talking about just the earth. I'm talking about all the planets, the solar system, the universe. It's all going to pass away. All those atoms are going to be released, and it's going to be such a loud noise. I mean, it's just unimaginable. You can't even think about how loud it's going to be and how much heat that's going to release. Every existing material will separate in an instant, creating the loudest explosion and greatest amount of heat ever. Creation won't just be burned up. It will be incinerated. There'll be nothing left of it. Not people. People will not be incinerated, and that will be the end of them. You're either going to be with the Lord or you're going to be in the lake of fire. Not you. When I say you, I mean people, right? If you are a believer trusting Christ, you'll be with him. If you're not, you'll be in the lake of fire. That's what God says. That's what you have to look forward to. Either be with him or not. And he won't be there in the lake of fire. He won't be watching over it, right? He doesn't have a part of that except for getting it created and getting you there. That's what I believe anyway. Therefore, verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, and all means all, right? Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Now, you see, when we read this, we think, well, this is Peter asking this question. No, it's not Peter asking this question. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter asking this question. The Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have done everything possible to get you to be with them for eternity. Some have not wanted that. They've gone away from that. But you're going to be in one of those two places. So, verse 11, to me at this point is saying, all people who ever lived will be in one of two places. You'll either be with Christ or you'll be in the lake of fire. You'll be in hell. Without Christ, he won't be there. At that moment, there won't be any other place to be, period. Now we're talking about that moment will be the end of the millennial kingdom, when everything's going to be recreated. So Peter's question to them and us is really, what does living in holy conduct and godliness mean to us? Mean to you? See, we all have to answer that question for ourselves. How should I be conducting myself as a believer in Christ? And not just because he's able to know what we're doing. It's because we're able to influence people. In other words, we're nearing the end. How should we be living? Oh, good answer, Frank. I like that. Seems like I've heard that somewhere before. Francis Schaeffer, how should we then live? He posed that question and wrote about it, and you can read that. The truth is that the world is moving at such a rapid pace that most people are living day to day, trying to get by and survive, not able to think about what Jesus wants for them and wants to do with them, how he wants them to live. We're all in that rat race, right? I think of it like the water that's swirling around a drain. And the closer you get to the drain, the faster it goes, right? Until finally, you're gone. That's the pace the world is moving at, and it doesn't want us to stop and think about what God wants. How does he want us to live? What should we be doing? But we need to think about it. That's why it's essential for us to share Jesus. That's essential that we stop and do it whenever we get a chance. We need to recognize this is a chance. The other day it happened to me. I had a chance and I didn't recognize it. And when I walked well up, there was my chance. I didn't get it. I didn't do it. But you'll get better at it if you're aware of it. You get better at recognizing it, right? So be about sharing Jesus. Verse 12. We're looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. They're gone. The day of God. Now we've gone from the day of Christ to the day of God. The day of Christ, I like to say, started with his birth. Some people will say, well, it started with the Pentecost. Started at Pentecost. Doesn't matter. It's around that time frame. The day of the Lord lasted from that time all the way to the end of the millennium. That's when the day of the Lord ends. Everything that's happened in between has happened because God is trying to turn people to the Lord. And so it's named after him. It's the day of the Lord. But at the end of that, it'll become the day of God, because we're ending one epoch of time and starting into another one. We're leaving the epoch of Jesus, even though he's still there. He's God. We have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're not leaving anybody out. But it'll be the day of God, because we're going to move into his new creation, his new way of life, our new way of life.
Hallelujah.
Yes. And we're going to be living that way for eternity. So it's going to be a great time living with God. It'll be the new dwelling place, the new universe for humanity with God. That's what's coming. We can't even imagine what it's going to be like with our finite minds. We can't imagine it. I mean, we're thinking about, what are we going to be doing all that time? It's going to get kind of boring, isn't it? No. I don't think it will. But that's the way our human minds work, because they're finite. The end of the day of the Lord and the beginning of the day of God are the same day. The end of one, the beginning of the other. There's no lapse of time in there. There's no one ends and then, oh, well, if we hang around long enough, the other one's going to start. No, it starts right away. The benchmark phrases for a single day, 24-hour period, which are the evening and the morning, were the first day, that were used in Genesis, are not used in reference to these days. It's not a period of time. It's eternal. There's no time. We're not limited by time. We're outside of that now. These days are long periods of time. And they'll be defined by what you're involved in. I don't know what you're going to be involved in. I don't know what I'm going to be involved in. But whatever it is, we'll be involved in it for a time. And when that ends and we get involved in something else, it'll be something different. Yes.
So the day of the Lord is no time.
No. Not the day of the Lord, the day of God.
The day of God. Okay.
See? We're moving from one period of... The day of the Lord is a period of time.
Okay.
Right? We can define it by... If you knew, let's just say, AD 1, right? That's the day of the Lord, right? AD 1, Anno Domini, right? And we're 2,023 years into that. And we don't know how much longer we'll be into it. But that's going to end, and then you could say, if you're aware of that, looking back while you're in heaven, you could say, well, the day of the Lord lasted 2,020-something years or more, whatever it is. And then it ended, and the day of God began. Things will be different. That's why the terms are different. Things will be different. You'll be in a different place. You'll be in a new place. You'll be in a place where there's no sin. You'll be in a place where there's no hate. There's no sorrow. There's no bickering. You know, everything will be perfect. It's different. That's why it's called something different. The day of God. And we are led to think that that's going to be an eternal length of time. How many times have you heard a preacher say, we're going to be with the Lord in eternity? How long is that? It's eternity. It never ends. Praise God. That's where I want to be. The same description of events that end the day of the Lord are used to mark the beginning of the day of God. When that big explosion happens, it's over for the day of the Lord. It's the beginning of the day of God, because a new creation is going to come in. There's no time lapse separating the two events. One event immediately leads to the next. And God's kingdom continues without interruption. God's kingdom exists right now. You're in it. You're part of God's kingdom. Boy, you're still here on earth, but you're in His kingdom. Right? And you'll be in it from now on, yes. That's God's kingdom. So, you're in because you trusted Jesus. You said yes when He said, will you trust me to be your Savior? You're in. Verse 13 reads like this. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. God promised that. Not a human. God promised that. If God promises something, you can go to the bank on it. It's going to happen. Nevertheless, in other words, even if we didn't have God's word describing these events we just talked about, we have His promise. So even if we didn't see all that other stuff, we could, on His promise, know it's going to happen. God is a God of His word, is He not? Of course He is. God promised this would happen. It will happen. It doesn't matter whether somebody believes it or not. If God said it, it will happen. Your belief doesn't have anything to do with it moving forward. It has to do with you moving forward, but not the event itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
God said it. That settles it. But it won't be just the beginning of good things happening. You know, we'll just kind of flow into a time where, oh, it's all good now. Everything's good. It's just good. No, it won't be that. All creation will be new. It will be recreated. You could think of it this way, that it will be recreated as it was in Genesis 1. And there won't be a fall. There won't be a curse. It'll all be God's will, His peace, His sovereignty, perfection. In a word, perfection. No sin.
Yeah.
Do you understand that sin drags you down? Yes. That's the weight that we carry.
Kind of like, Pastor, it's kind of like when I was learning about the Lord and, you know, heaven and earth and eternity and stuff like that. And my pastor had brought up the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer, it says in there, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done."
Right.
And that's kind of where, that's right. Sermon now, how it hit me then and how it's hit me now, it's even
right.
More older about thy will be done. His kingdom,
yes,
will be coming. Yeah.
There'll be no interference with His will. There'll be no enemy to interfere with it. We won't interfere with it. We'll be in perfect line with His will. We'll desire to do it. Without question. I mean, that's hard for us to imagine. We won't even question it. That's what you want, Lord? Okay, let's go. It's going to be great. No sin. Righteousness will not only reign, it will be intrinsic. It'll be in you. That's what you'll want. You'll have no other desire but to be like Christ in doing what He wants you to do. That will be, you'll be consumed by that. No thought of yourself. It will be your new nature. No longer a human nature. No, a Christ nature living in you. The sin nature that humanity will be gone. Doesn't exist. I don't think we'll ever even think about it. I think we'll be so consumed with where we're at, we won't think about anything in the past. Because, you know, some people worry about that. Well, if I know somebody that didn't accept Jesus, that's going to be sad. No, no sadness there. So you won't be concerned with that. You'll be thinking about the Lord and being with Him. Humanity is gone, replaced, that your human nature is gone, replaced by the nature of Christ. So verse 14 says, therefore, in other words, because of that, that's what that therefore can mean that as well, right? Because of that, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Right? So, we have a task before us that's at hand. Well, you know, we got saved. Okay, great. Do we just do whatever we want after that? No, no. We are trying to imitate Christ after that. We're trying to have the mind of Christ in us. Right? Yeah, that's right. So because of this, we should be working to conform to Christ's image right now. Right now. Don't get frustrated because you don't do it all the time. You have a human nature. It's fighting against you. Okay? But don't give up. Keep trying. That's what being in peace without spot and blameless means. That we're being like Jesus. When we are there in those circumstances, we will be like Jesus. We'll have His nature. We'll be spotless. We'll be blameless. We'll have His mind. We'll be like Jesus. Now let me remind you that Jesus, between the time of His baptism and His crucifixion, okay? He was baptized, later He was crucified. during that time was the way he was because he was in full obedience to the Holy Spirit. That's what we should be aiming at, to be in obedience to the Holy Spirit, doing the will of God as led by the Holy Spirit. That is really our task. So how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, how do you do that? You see, we say these things, but we don't really think it out and nail it down on what we're going to do. Exactly. You have to be in God's Word to do His Word. You have to know what Christ's mind is like to have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit isn't going to just, pow, there you go, you got it all. No, it doesn't work that way.
It's a relationship.
Exactly. And you are living in that relationship. You are giving yourself, your heart, your soul, your mind, you're giving that to the Lord to learn to be like Him and live like Him and treat others like He would treat them. It's not easy. But you must be in the Word. You must be communicating with the Lord. You must be praying to even have a shot at it. Curtis?
And there's only one thing that can make us spotless and blameless, and that's the blood of Jesus.
That's right. But we're beyond that. We've accepted that. We've been washed clean. And now we're moving forward, becoming like Christ. So we can't keep looking back. You don't want to look back, because when you look back, what are you going to see? All the junk you've been going through, right? Don't look back. Look forward. Look forward to be like Christ. Wasn't me. That's right. I mean, I have a saying I've been saying for years. I used to say it at school all the time. Onward and upward.
Yep.
What are we going to do? We're going to move onward and upward. And that's what we should be doing all the time. Amen? That's what Jesus did during the time He was on earth. He submitted His will to the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit. He wasn't doing what He wanted to do. How many times did He say, I didn't come to do my will, I came to do the Father's will? And how did He know to do that? The Holy Spirit guy was guiding Him. So, how do we get this peace with God? We follow the Holy Spirit. We submit to Him. That means you don't get to do all the things you want to do. Some things are not good for you. They don't build your relationship with the Lord. That's the things. Those are the things you need to be working on, the things that build your relationship with the Lord. And when you do that, you'll be able to build relationships with the people around you. And you'll be able to put up with them. That's right. Do you think Jesus... Do you think He ever got frustrated about anything?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me give you a clue. Oh, ye of little faith.
Yeah.
Be like Him. Follow the Holy Spirit. He was fully yielded and obedient to the Holy Spirit. That's the only way He could die on the cross. He had to be steadfastly committed. You know, that's what we're missing today. That's what the saints are missing. They're not committed. We're limited in that. We have to say, my nature is dead. His nature, alive by the Holy Spirit in me. That's how we imitate Christ. That's how we get His peace. You must die to self. Verse 15. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. The long suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, was written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. We get that. They're hard to understand. Which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. The long suffering of our Lord. You know what that is? Yes, that's His patience with us. He's long suffering with us so we can get the salvation He provided. He doesn't zap you when you sin and that's it for you, bud, you're done. No. If you're trusting Jesus, the Holy Spirit is there lifting you up and saying, come on, we can do this. Come on, let's move forward. Get up. We'll do it. Jesus waits for us to achieve each new level of success of sanctification. Sanctification is that growing process, becoming more like Jesus. That's what sanctification is while we're walking in the Spirit. We're not going to reach an advance in sanctification if we're not going to follow the Holy Spirit. Can't do it on your own. Peter is saying he agrees with what the Lord said through the Apostle Paul about sanctification. They're agreeing. How can they agree? Because the Holy Spirit gave them both the Word. That's why everything matches up in the Scripture from start to finish. It's not 66 different authors. It's 66 different penmen or writers that wrote what the Holy Spirit, the real author, said, write this. This is what they need to know. This also shows that Paul's letters were considered authoritative as God's Word even back then. We all know that for those who are not committed to the study of God's Word, it can be difficult to understand. A casual, haphazard reading without commitment, is you're not going to be understanding. You're going to be frustrated. So you have to be committed to studying the Word.
We talked about this yesterday, that Louis gave us the Bible study about how to... We can't grow if we don't turn around and go to Bible studies. And if we come just Sunday to hear the sermon, how are we going to make it?
Right.
You know, I just, myself personally, would be like, I'd never be able to do it. You know, I have to be here. I've got to be here to learn.
You're limiting your growth process.
Yes.
You know, that new baby, if they only fed that new baby one meal a day or one meal every other day, how's it going to grow? How's it going to advance? Not going to happen. So you have to be committed to be in the Word. Studying the Word, following the Holy Spirit, doing what He wants you to do, okay? So, be committed to be in the Word. The unstable, it mentions the unstable in this verse, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. The unstable are non-believers.
Yes.
But they're also believers.
Yep.
Immature believers. Well, I got saved. I'm good to go. No. Now you need to start growing. Well, I don't think I'm okay. They're not learning and living God's Word. The warning here to non-believers, seekers, and believers is, don't use ignorance to justify wrongdoing. Get in the Word. Stay in it. And when somebody questions you about, are you in the Word? Be honest. I need to be more committed. Same with prayer. Are you praying regularly? I need to be more committed. Holy and godly conduct. I know it says shoe, but it should say show. Show holy and godly conduct to glorify our Lord Jesus. That's what we're to do. We're to bring glory to Him And we do that by being committed to His Word and to imitating Him. Verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Since you know, after reading this brief letter from the Apostle Peter, what do you know? What do you know now that you didn't know before? Well, we know false teachers are coming. False leaders are coming. What else do you know? Better be in the Word. What else do you know? Better be allowing the Holy Spirit to have control of my life. I got to give it up. Got to be in prayer. Got to be doing the things He wants me to do, right? So we know these things. You know that false teachers are real. So be careful that you are not drawn away from the truth. No, you won't lose your salvation, but you can be drawn away from the truth. You can be misguided. You can spend a lot of time on the wrong road, but you'll still have your salvation. Anytime you listen to false teachers, you're at risk. As soon as you identify a false teacher, stop listening. Don't be involved with them anymore. Unless you want to be involved by saying, I think you're off track. You need to go back to the Word. The wicked is a group of people who are blind to a false leader. They follow that person, thinking they're okay, but they're blind to that. They become wicked because they're not living God's Word. They're doing what that person says. Don't follow a leader just because they have followers. Keep your eye upon Jesus. He's the one you're supposed to follow. Years ago, I used to listen to a teacher. His name was Irwin Baxter. And he was big into prophecy. And I thought, man, this guy's got it together. I think he's got it right, you know. And he even bought a big hotel in Jerusalem and was converting it so that when the Lord came and people were trying to go somewhere to be safe, they could go to that hotel. He was building it for that reason, which right there showed he didn't really understand what was going to happen. But some things happened then. He made a prediction, not about when Christ was going to come, but about some other things that were going to happen. He gave a time. And of course, it didn't happen as he said it would. That's all you needed right there. I mean, if you had any doubt before, that was it. That was the bottom line. Turned him off. Didn't listen to him anymore after that. Now he's deceased. I just had to look that up and see if he was still going. Any rate, follow the Lord. No matter how many people are following somebody else, follow the Lord. Depend on the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in Him, and to Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Okay? Instead of being led away, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do you grow? Commit. Make the commitment. Make the commitment. Not to live in a monastery away from everyone, waiting for the end to happen. No, that's not the commitment you want to make. Commit to walking in the Spirit by studying and knowing God's Word. Commit to that. Then going to the next level and actually living it. Not just knowing it, but doing it. Allowing the will of the Lord to be done in you and through you. Be the example of Christ to all you meet to the glory of Jesus Christ. Bring Him the glory. Curtis?
Yeah, there's a verse you talked about false prophets and stuff like that trying to put some kind of false teaching on us. And Frank spoke about that, about standing by the word.
Yes.
And that will help us and give us firepower to be able to do it. Isaiah 8:20 says, to the law, and if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them.
Right. The Spirit's not in them.
That's right.
So we need to be in this, in God's Word, so we know. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray and we'll be finished. Father, thank You. Thank You for leading us, letting Your Holy Spirit lead us, Lord. We ask that You would make us more obedient. And Lord, I know that we're asking You to do it, but we know we need to do it. We know we have a choice to make. We have to choose to do it. We have to be steadfast. We have to recognize when we're not doing it and repent and get back on the right track again. That's what we're really praying for, Lord. The leadership of the Holy Spirit, that we will give over to His will, follow You, and not what we think. Help us, Lord, to do this, to bring glory to You and to help others find You, find the Holy Spirit, yield to the Holy Spirit so they can be part of Your family as well, accepting You as their Savior because of Your work on the cross. Lord, all glory to You. Help us to live out Your example. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.